On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, the mighty turkey hunter, our visit with Hank's sister, and Hank's daddy issues.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
What's today's date, Petra?
4/20.
What does that mean?
That means it's January, February, March, April 20th.
That's right. This is the pot holiday, right?
I suppose it is.
I didn't read today. I've heard
different
things.
I bet there's a bunch of tweets and weird stuff because it is kind of, it's become a holiday.
I've heard urban rumors throughout the past, but I don't know exactly. Doesn't it have to do with like a penal code or some kind of a law number or something?
I heard, and again, it's an urban legend. I always heard that like over the radio when, you know how like they've got a code for breaking and entering and they've got a code for this. It's code for marijuana.
Okay.
We've got a 420 at such and such address and blah, 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 blah. So that's their code for it.
Well, whatever it is, it all kind of sounds related. You know, a number for the law or a number for what police code it as.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
So that's awesome.
And then May 4th coming up pretty soon, too. So that's a big old number. May the 4th be with you. It's a nerd holiday.
Wow. That's two holidays. That's close to each other.
I know.
Thank God.
Funny holidays.
Thank God,
because we're in this whole long stretch between New Year's Day and never. It seems like.
Just imagine if 5/4 had been the slang for marijuana. We'd have both those on the same day. We'd have marijuana pot day.
The nerds would be so confused.
Oh, that would be amazing. What a day that would be. Everybody could just unite, hold hands.
Be happy together.
It's doing a big flower circle. That'd be awesome.
I think you just went on your tangent. Whee!
Yeah, I did.
It was kind of funny.
Did you see my coworker on Facebook?
I did. And I was like, you're like, Petra, come look at this. And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, and it is hilarious. Your little teeny tiny itty bitty, 22-year-old gal.
Yeah, this coworker.
You're millennial.
My millennial. Yeah. She used to be a straight up my employee, but I sold the company out and I still do part time work for this company. So now she's technically my coworker, I guess. So
she's your millennial adoptee.
Yeah.
She is.
Right. I mean, I hired her, you know, so it's one of those weird things. But anyway, this girl. She's beautiful. She's a beautiful young lady.
She's adorable.
Absolutely knockout, beautiful girl. And
Smart.
Got everything going for her. She lives just where we do here in Appalachia. What picture do we see her on Facebook doing?
She shot herself a big-ass turkey. That turkey is as big as she is. I know it's feathers, but holy cow, she's holding it up by the feet. She shot this thing.
In the woods.
And she's got her arm stuck all the way up in the air, and that bird is as long as she is tall.
Yeah. This is a picture her boyfriend took of her out turkey hunting, and she obviously killed a turkey. Because, like you said, she's posing with this dead animal, like holding its head.
Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird?
Slinging it over her shoulder. Like, wow. This girl, you may think, is a little cute little. That's what I like about you Eastern Kentucky Appalachian women.
We can surprise you.
That's right. There's surprises there. like this girl easily, like I've described her, a very, you know, in her nice pictures where she's all dolled up and whatever.
Yeah.
Like a model. And then you see a picture of her shooting a damn turkey with a shotgun.
It is just kind of.
That's crazy.
It's so unexpected. And that's what it is. It's unexpected.
Yeah, that is the word.
It's so unexpected. It's just great.
Well, I do like that.
I do too.
That's fun. That's fun stuff.
Yeah.
So good luck if they try to, any of my former medical locations, if she's there and she's got her purse, they're dead.
They're dead.
She carries a gun in that purse too, so.
Oh, God. Not surprising. Not now, like it would have been before, but no, not now.
I told her I keep one in my briefcase, so, hey, she's a pistol-packing little mama.
She's so tiny.
So teeny, mousy, squeaky voice.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
It's like a comedy if she was to.
Yeah. Yeah. She would be almost like that chick on all Police Academy movies with that really high-pitched voice.
She would be exactly like that. Yeah, that's exactly what she'd be. Yeah.
You're dead. Yeah, yep. That would be it.
Yep, yep. You're 100% right. All right. I've done two good deeds this week in regards to my family.
Ooh, yeah.
And I want credit for it somewhere.
So it's Hank's time.
People like me ought to be the people straight to heaven.
To air his daddy issues.
I ought to be able to go straight to heaven. Go to the front of the line for putting up with family 2 days.
In 1 week.
Yes. Within the same 5-day period, seeing my family, both people, in the same week.
Yeah, and you only have
voluntarily
two first-degree relatives still with us, so.
I mean, Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's a given. You got to do that.
Yeah.
Then we have a family reunion, so that's 3 times.
And that's coming up next month.
3 times a year has been pushing it. This is 4. So I've branched out to seeing my family 4 times a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What's wrong with you? Am I becoming an influence on you? I won't say a good influence. I won't say a bad influence.
I don't know. It's one of those.
Are you getting old? Are you an old man, Hank?
I am an old man, but I don't know if that has anything to do with why. I tell you why, at least some of this. Well, I don't know. With my sister, I don't know exactly why. First of all, I think she's just mellowing a little bit,
uh-huh.
And I'm starting to be able to take her a little better. And when she says something that's just kind of crazy, I can almost laugh instead of, you know, agitate about it.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I've always kind of laughed at you a little bit, like not in a bad way.
Plus it
like,
makes good podcast material.
It makes great podcast material. But I've laughed at you a little bit in just because, like, when we see your family, see your sister, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Did this drive you crazy? Like, you always apologize. And I worked around engineers for, like, that. They're just like that. Like, that's why she chose that field, is because her brain works that way. So it doesn't bother me.
Because she's so opinionated that everything is exactly the way she thinks and nobody else could possibly be right.
It's black and white. She's thought about this. She's right. It's just how she is. And
But I don't see how you'd like that. Like, I will apologize for that forever because I don't think that's really nice. Or whatever it is. Maybe nice is the wrong word because maybe they're not. Maybe their brain is just programmed that way by now, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to be pleasant for you to be put through that. So I'm always going to apologize for that.
Do you seem
to be all right with it?
I am, because we're like that sometimes too.
Everybody has their moments.
But
I get it.
We have a tendency, and I laughed about this earlier. We do. We have this tendency to really examine things, look at facts, you know, double blind data if we've got it.
Double blind studies.
To before we make a decision on something. And when we've made a decision, and even if it is something like politics, where sometimes there's facts, sometimes there's an opinion, but once we've made up our mind, we both really believe we're right, whether we agree with each other or not. And we sometimes have to agree to, like, that's your opinion, this is my opinion, it's a little different. But I can, with anybody that I can look at and say, yes, I respect your intelligence, you're examining some data, you know, you may have some different opinions than I do, but I can still respect, you know, you enough to have a conversation with you. I like people like that.
Well, I can, yeah, I know what you're saying.
That was real inarticulate and weird, but I mean, if somebody is a thinking person and you can see the logic in their patterns, then no matter how different I believe or feel or know than them, I don't have a problem having a conversation with them because I can see where they're coming from.
No, I can see that. As far as that goes, yeah. If you do, and there's a lot of things, of course, we obviously agree on and conversation goes fine.
Yeah.
But I guess it's hard for me to get over the attitude of when you do disagree. And And you're right. I mean, you know, she's a smart person, and what she says I can take into consideration some, mm-hmm. but the delivery of the information is sometimes a bit abrasive.
Yeah.
And it makes me not want to listen to the content of what she's saying based on this, I'm 100% factual right, and I'm about to tell you the right way why your way is wrong. And
it's
maybe
kind of a Yates family trait, dude. It is. And I married into it, and I'm as bad. But
I don't know. So anyway, we went to see my sister, who lives around the Lexington area, because this is horse racing season here in Kentucky.
Yay! Yes.
Went to Keeneland, right?
Da, 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 da. Yes, we did. And we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
And even though we live in the middle of Appalachia, we actually kind of live in a city. So we don't get out in the country a lot right now.
No, not real country. Like, all right, we live in an Appalachian, quote, city. Let's clarify that. I think we have a couple of 5-story buildings and a few that are like maybe 8.
1 mile out of town and you're in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we are surrounded by forest, but we actually live on a city street in the middle of a forest.
Yeah. Everybody who listens to the podcast has heard one siren.
Oh, all the time. And you'll probably hear one at night.
Yeah.
So anyway, my sister lives out in the country. It was nice.
Yes. Like, there's no noise. There's crickets. I love that.
That's what you go to sleep to.
Yeah.
Little teeny beds.
Yeah, it's a twin size bed, and it's hard as a freaking rock, okay? I couldn't even lay on my right side because my bursitis hip hurt too bad, so I had to roll over.
And, you know, they have, what is it, three beds? It's basically a three-bedroom,
three-bedroom house, one bathroom, mm-hmm. and it is through your sister's bedroom. Actually, it's through your niece's bedroom and your sister's bedroom. So forget it. I've learned, do not drink for hours before you go to bed. Pee right before you go to bed, and then you got to hold it till the morning. And you were peeing off the porch last time we were there.
Yeah,
did you
the
do
best
that
part.
This time?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
I love that.
I was pissed at you because I was ready to freaking die. I was going to die.
Why didn't you just walk through their bedroom?
I couldn't do it.
Too embarrassed?
Yes. Yes. I couldn't poop in your sister's house if I was ready to explode.
Oh, come on.
I couldn't. There's no way.
You need
it's just one bathroom, 5 adults. It's just not a good thing.
Yeah, it is kind of awkward. And how have they survived that for 20 years or more that they've lived there?
Yeah.
They have a daughter. So at one time.
There were two adult women getting ready in one bathroom, which is just, I can't imagine.
Oh, and you're right. And her dad. So you got 3 adults living in a house with one bathroom. One kind of small bathroom, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't see how anybody could survive that.
First world problems, Hank. I feel guilty complaining.
You know
about
what?
It.
That is kind of a first world problem. You know, there are people that don't have anything. That's a good point.
There are people that don't have running water. And honestly, in Appalachia, I grew up, there were places we still went that had outhouses. I mean, honest to God, they dig a hole in the yard, a big pit, build a shack around it with a seat, an elevated seat, and you poop in a hole. So
there's a few of those. Thank God there's not much, though.
Yeah.
I think the rest of
but
the,
that was common growing up for me.
I think the rest of the country thinks that we are constantly. That's what we are now, I think. That's what they think we are.
Well, yeah, because anytime there's a great national news story about Kentucky or West Virginia, they find the outhouse in the community and take everybody there and film them in front of the outhouse, I'm pretty sure.
Well, the last show, we talked about that Donald Trump skit with Saturday Night Live. I mean, that's what the outside world thinks we are.
Well, I thought they were pretty articulate for hillbillies, so.
They were. They actually gave us a lot. They've moved it up a few notches. You're right.
Yeah, I wasn't offended. I was like,
They didn't have straw hats and
bibbed overalls with no shirt and
teeth.
No curlers in their hair, no moo-moos.
We are moving
great.
Up. I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I'm so used to being, seriously, we almost have like a no, my state is worse competition going on. I'm from West Virginia. Hank's from Kentucky. We're like the Hatfields and McCoys.
If you get to go by any chance to the horse races in Kentucky,
yes.
I think if you go to like Aqueduct and some of the places like in New York and some of the other races. I doubt if it's the pomp and circumstance we have at our races, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I have a feeling that Kentucky is kind of a special place. Ooh, do you hear this siren?
There we go. See, we're in the city. Here they come. No, but it's a classy, people wearing suits. In fact, people wearing funny suits.
Yeah, we got to get you a funny suit.
I need a funny suit. Like, I'm talking like a Dumb and Dumber type suit. You'll see that there. You'll see women wearing sundresses, lots of hats.
Nice, elegant sundresses. It's, like dressing up.
You dress
heels,
up and go.
Oh, God. Heels.
All over
heels.
The place. Yeah. So if you ever get the chance. And we were talking. It makes me almost like a time travel. I get a time travel feeling for it. Like when I'm there and you see, there's literally 30, 40,000 people there.
Yeah.
Literally. That's the
attendant. This is Keeneland. It is so well organized. The parking situation, they just direct you. Mm-hmm. Everybody just goes where they're supposed to be. Everybody's tailgating.
Right.
Everybody's polite.
People are dressed up, watching these horse races, betting on the races, just like they did for hundreds of years, right?
Yes.
Obviously, at least for, you know, 300 or 400 years, people get together, watch races, not at Keeneland, I'm talking about in general.
Okay.
Getting together, watch horse racing. It's a thing, right?
Of
course it is.
It's sport of the kings, isn't it? Has it been called that before?
And, you know, isn't it a weird human phenomenon that whatever we're getting from one place to another on,
we have to race it.
Yeah. What's the deal with that?
We're people.
Is that just something in our DNA?
They race airplanes and space shuttles now, I'm pretty sure.
They're going to race spaceships for sure. Once
Absolutely.
We do that, there will be spaceship races. We race everything. Like you said, everything. Boats, cars. We started with horses because we were riding horses. Like, I bet your horses. Well, first we started racing each other. Yeah.
Pee.
Yes. That wasn't good enough. So we raced each other. Then we started racing
horses.
Yeah, because we were riding horses. Then next thing, obviously, cars.
Oh, well, chariot races.
Chariots, whatever we can hook to our horse, right? We are a species of competition.
Yeah, and we still have chariot races. They've got all the buggy horse races. What are those?
Trotters. What is that? Buggy.
I cannot think.
It's not damn buggy. Oh, God.
It's a buggy to me now.
Harness racing.
Harness racing. Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway.
We keep the racing around.
Horse racing, phenomenal. I feel like I'm going back in time doing something that our ancestors have done and enjoyed, and people sitting there and having a few drinks and the whole, I just love it. I love that feeling.
Wow. That was very philosophical.
So?
Like, I just really enjoyed the Bloody Marys this time.
Well, I thought about it more this time, I guess. I don't know. I've been thinking about that the last few times, but I don't know. There's just something classic about that.
It's very classy. It is. And I enjoy it.
So that's what we did with my sister. Spent a day at her house. Went to the horse races. It was great. Nobody died. Nobody got stabbed.
Nobody got into any fights or anything. No, I thought it was a good visit. I really did.
Oh, it was a good visit. I had a good time.
I've absolutely learned don't drink anything after about 5 because you don't get a chance to pee.
You know, I can understand not wanting to poop in there because it's right beside, the bathroom's right beside their bedroom.
Yeah.
Was it hurt to walk down there and pee? You just don't want to mess them up?
Well, you're peeing right beside their head because there's just that wall between you and them and... I don't like people to hear me. Okay. You were looking at me like I'm crazy. I told you last time after I found out that you were peeing off the porch.
Yeah. I just went down the stairs. Yeah. Instead of going through my sister's bedroom to the bathroom, I go out the door and pee off the porch.
You redneck.
It's very liberating.
It's got to be. I would pee in the yard. No questions asked, but you'd have to take me.
It's dark.
Which would be so weird.
It's dark. You can see the stars. You know, you're out in the middle of the country.
Nobody can see.
You know, hear the crickets chirping. It's like they're cheering you on. Yeah. Be on that grass.
I think it is a guy thing. I really do. Like, I don't understand Like, for girls, we always run the risk of peeing all over our foot, our leg, ourself, our pants, whatever. Yeah, you always kind of run the risk.
I suppose. Well, so that got my sister checked off the list for once.
Yes.
Then I got to see the next one was my dad. That's always an adventure.
I didn't realize that this was like a double whammy for you in 1 week.
Well, in one sense, it was like, let's just get this over with. And then in another sense, I thought, well, I could check them both off the list in the same week and just make this hell week and just get it done. I thought about that. And then the other thing I thought, well, my dad might die before I get to basically grant him this old man dying wish.
Old man dying wish.
He's not really dying, but my dad's like 87.
He's going to be dying for the next at least 13, 14 years.
Yeah,
I'm
probably.
Sure.
So he had a request that I fulfilled by visiting him. I'll get into it here. So I don't know. Like I said, I think that's my go straight to the front of the line ticket as far as I'm concerned. The reason my dad, if you listen to the show and past shows we've talked about, I basically have had a life-changing deal where I sold out my half of a medical practice and at the same time bought a ton of real estate because also on the side, me and Petra are real estate developers. At the same time, we basically doubled our real estate portfolio at the same time.
It was
a big deal.
So now you don't have one job to report to, but you've made yourself a full-time job to work. So,
right, exactly.
And it's working out. It's great. No hiccups. We've got everything running smooth now. And, like, you didn't even tell your dad about any of this, just for the fear.
I didn't tell my dad, my sister, for lots of reasons, because, one, I don't want it to be bragging. They already, like, that's one of those things with my sister. She even said it this weekend when we saw her. She called me the word rich. Like, I hate that when somebody's like, yeah, you're rich. Your rich uncle can, you know, help you out or whatever she said to Rebecca.
Yeah.
Or she made some joke.
She's a little jealous.
She made some joke at dinner. You know what was what I just said. The second time she said the word rich was when she took us to dinner. And at dinner, they paid for dinner.
Yeah.
We've done that before.
Well, your brother-in-law did.
Yeah. And when a check came, my sister made a weird joke that something like, oh, well, we should let rich Uncle Hank take care of this since he's a rich one of the family. It was something close to that.
Something like that. Like,
anyhow.
Let my rich brother pay for dinner is what she said.
Okay.
And I thought it was kind of a joke because we had just been kind of talking about what had gone on. And you hadn't talked to her about it at all. You are extra sensitive to it.
I guess.
I'm going to tell you that. You're a little extra sensitive to it. But there's a small measure of jealousy on her side, too.
Well, that's why I didn't tell anybody, because I just don't want my family. I'm like the reverse discrimination. Like, I don't want them to talk about me like I'm a rich person or use the word rich or whatever. I hate that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it implies, but for me, it somehow just implies that we didn't work for it or something. Somehow it implies something weird like that, even though that shouldn't have anything to do with it.
It shouldn't, but.
I mean, we work for every penny we have.
Yes, absolutely.
And we are financially, and we're lucky to be.
We're lucky, we're in good shape, but we have a huge mortgage.
Right.
And it's a juggling thing, and yeah, if everything works out and pays off.
Right.
It's going to be great, but.
So
we took some risks.
Right. So I didn't tell my sister till this weekend, and I didn't tell my dad till last week. And then when I tell my dad, you know, being in the medical field all these years really hasn't meant shit to him.
It really hasn't. That's kind of sad.
I mean, we're talking, I had 6 medical offices in 3 different states. And pretty much it was like, that'll be a fad. That'll grow over. You know?
Now that, you're not exaggerating and you're not being sensitive to. You're dead on about that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, you are.
It was always, Well, you know, because my dad, one thing he always had was a little measure of success was he owned a little bit of rental property. And growing up, I did see that, and that was a bit of an influence. It was always these slumlord, the crappiest places you've ever seen. Places that literally had outhouses, no indoor plumbing. We literally had a rental unit when I was a kid that had an outhouse. I swear to God. I think we had two.
Yeah, I don't know. You've told me that before. I believe you 1,000%. And having been out there and met your dad on his home turf, yeah, I see it.
Right. You can try to talk to him about investing in the stock market. You can show him graphs and charts and how compound interest, if you start investing in your 20s, how you're going to end up with millions in the bank if you do a stock market mutual fund type deal. That means nothing to him. Literally nothing. Like I said, my profession, nothing. What you do for a living, he thinks a joke, Petra.
Oh, he hates that I'm a hairdresser. He gives me shit literally every time.
So I
don't care.
So the one thing that he thinks in life that is the apex, like if you do this, you are king of the world.
Yes.
Is if you own some real estate.
Yes.
If you owned, and not just yours, but you have to own some others. And so, of course, right now, his idol is Donald Trump because he thinks he's God. Because
he owns some buildings.
Because he owns some buildings. A real estate guy is a president. My dad, if he dies tomorrow, he'll die with the happiest president he's ever had in his life.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what he does or what,
right.
what's in the news. He is living proof by real estate.
Exactly.
Like,
so
he's right.
And you know, my dad's right to a point, I suppose, as far as real estate can be a good investment.
It can be a horrible investment, too.
If you like to do it, if that's your thing, it's fantastic. So anyhow, when I told my dad that I had sold the medical practice, bought more real estate, like I said, he about creamed his pants, I think.
He did, too.
So what he asked, and that went okay, because normally my conversations with him, and I get it, that this psychologically, as a kid, probably set me up to be successful. I fully realize this.
Mm-hmm.
But the bullshit with him about things are never enough is enough to drive a person insane once you're an adult and you realize what's going on.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, to a point that is good, but anything I've ever done has never been good enough. Like I said, the medical practice, all that stuff, it's never good enough.
No.
You buy one piece of property, it's, well, that's nice. You should get another piece of property. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Like, he's really meddling.
And
so I've always hated that.
It goes through you. You get more upset, more angry, more frustrated.
I do.
Than I've ever seen you.
Well, that's why I only see him twice or three times a year. That's literally 100% why. Because he gets so into your business. Like, he'll ask you, like, numbers and salaries and all kinds of these questions. And then start proceeding to tell you
how you should run your business.
And your life. Financially. Yeah. It's odd. So when I told him this, he handled it okay, and he actually said the word. I told you I didn't think he would do it. I knew it'd be some kind of bullshit. Well, you should do this. Well, he didn't that first time, and he actually spoke the words, I'm proud of you.
You floored him, and he didn't have time enough to plan your next financial move, Hank.
Maybe. Maybe. But I can tell you that's the first time in 87 years of him living that he ever spoke the words, I'm proud of you. That's the first time he's ever said that. And he's never said, like, I love you. That word's never come out and never will.
Wow.
It's just odd. It's how he was raised, I guess.
It's weird. It's still weird. It hurts me to hear you say that because...
Well, so that's what happened. So he said, I'm proud of you. And he said, I would like one thing. But he didn't say before he died. But, you know, basically he said, I wish you'd do one thing for me. And he never asked things like this either. So.
No, no.
So he said, I'd like for you to drive me around Hazard and show me all the property that you really own. Because he's gotten bits and pieces that we own buildings here and there, and we own
Yeah,
this.
But he doesn't know.
He hasn't pieced it all together. He's tried. He's got probably a map at home, a broken map.
He does.
Trying to figure out what exactly we own where, but he didn't know exactly. So his request was for me to drive him around and show him exactly the buildings that we own around town. So I drove him around. So how do you think? That's all right.
I think so.
So I gave it a week or two to build up my strength to try to mentally, you know, handle this. Because that means I'm going to have to go get him, which is an hour away, bring him back to town, show him around for an hour or two, have dinner with him. Basically, it's going to be a 5 or 6 hour ordeal with him. At a family reunion, that's an hour. At Christmas, that's an hour. But this is going to be 6 hours of distilled mental
torture.
Right. Psychological torture from kids. I know kids shit's going to come back to haunt me. I'm trying to mentally prepare for this. So I drive to go get him out in the middle of nowhere. He lives out in the middle of nowhere, which is fine. When I get out there, there's nobody. He's usually on the front porch waiting for me. He's not on the front porch. So I knock on the door. I don't hear anything. I go in the house. I hear him on the phone, like, cussing. Now, this is an 87-year-old man, keep in mind. I hear things like, well, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to call. Ain't this the sheriff's office? What the hell am I calling for then if this ain't the sheriff? If I ain't, I'm like, well, here we go. Like, literally the first second, there's going to be some
drama.
I'm like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so I walk in. I'm like, who you on the phone with? He's like, my dad, I'm on the phone trying to talk to this goddamn sheriff's office about this bulldozer across the road that I, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what are we talking about? Like I said, instantly, it's
boom.
Some bullshit.
Yeah.
So he gets off the phone and starting again, cussing. And he usually doesn't use the F word. He says a lot of goddams, a lot of hells, a lot of dams. It doesn't
yeah,
use the F
yeah,
word.
Yeah, I've never heard the F bomb out of your
so,
head.
So he was all tore up. I mean, he was just all upset. The reason he's upset, they're across, and he lives in a
holler.
He lives in a holler surrounded by four mountains on each side. Whichever side you pick, there's a mountain. Well, the mountain in front of his house, there is a bulldozer that has made a path slowly from his line of sight from the front of the house and has made its way across this mountain out of his line of sight to the left of the house. And he's all tore up because this is his property. He doesn't yeah. know who the bulldozer is or what it's doing. So he instantly jumps to, I'm going to call the sheriff's office. And I think what he's done, I think, and I keep saying the sheriff's office, I think he might.
Probably the property tax people.
Yeah. I have a feeling it was probably the property tax. That's in our area. It's weird. But you go to, they call it the sheriff's office to pay your property taxes. And it's a division of the sheriff's office, but it's not really the sheriff's office.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a feeling that's probably who he was talking to because he was saying, and I could hear
Damn
him.
Damn it, why am I calling you if you can't help me?
Yeah, like, why are you telling me to call somebody else? Ain't that the damn sheriff's office? Like, they were trying to tell him to call the real sheriff's office, I guess. Yeah,
which they should have just transferred him. I mean, like, seriously, you can tell you're dealing with a crazy old person in about 3 seconds.
You know,
be able to transfer them.
You know, I've had customers before who were throughout the years in law enforcement. And at least around here, I can tell you one thing that they have consistently told me that there are certain people, and I don't know how high on the list, but they all mentioned you get old men out in the country and they are dangerous as fuck.
Yeah, they will shoot at you.
Yes, they universally said that is somebody you better handle with care. And so that's my dad. So he gets off the phone. As he gets off the phone, he's telling me what's going on, about how upset he is. I see on his coffee or on his kitchen table, he's already got his 30-30 shells out and a rifle.
Yep.
Leaning up against the table. And he's like, well, I'll take this 30-30 out there and throw a few pot shots at that bulldozer. I'll bet it leaves. I'm like, really? Do we? So you're going
this is Hatfields and McCoy's country.
That's your solution? We're going to go outside with a 30-30 rifle and shoot at or around a bulldozer that happens to be randomly going through the woods in front of your house.
I get it. It's his property, but I just keep smiling over here going, and his hero is Donald Trump.
Yep, it is. So I talk him out of that.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, I'm like, come on, let's just drop this. He's all tore up about it. So I get him in the truck, start driving towards Hazard. And at the end of our road, you can see where this bulldozer has come off the hill.
Yeah.
There's a little logging station where there's logs. And this bulldozer is right about the time we're coming onto the main road. This bulldozer is coming off the hill and going to a little flat area where they're going to load the bulldozer.
Yeah.
So, Dad, okay, pull over here. I want to talk to this guy. Like,
can't drop it.
No, he cannot drop it. So I pull in. The bulldozer's coming off the hill. My dad goes over. He can barely walk.
Yeah, he's on a cane.
He has a cane. He staggers over to this guy who's probably 65-ish. And they have a little conversation, and it's a polite conversation. But my dad basically asking him, you know, what? He recognizes him. Yeah. And here's the deal. It's the local preacher from our local church, which my dad doesn't go to. But it's just interesting that we were ready to, he was calling the police, ready to shoot at this preacher, who's his neighbor.
Yeah.
About two or three houses up, his neighbor.
And houses are spread out, okay? So just so people know, you don't see the next house out of here.
So Dad almost shot the neighbor preacher.
Yep.
Now, here's where it gets convoluted. Who knows, according to the preacher, oh, don't you remember? I stopped by a few days ago, and you said I could find a few logs up there if they were, you know, nice logs and take them. And my dad like, no, I don't remember that. So it could be very well that because my dad doesn't wear his hearing aids, he's halfway confused. He could have agreed to anything and just nodded his head with this guy
because this guy was talking to him.
Or it could be that somehow that conversation didn't happen, or at least it happened, but the preacher didn't
misled a little.
Yeah. And I kind of think that because my dad's very protective of his property.
Yes. You know, I cannot see your dad giving anybody.
Right.
Even the right of way, let alone take some logs. That's not going to happen.
No, me either. So you'd have to
dig him a new outhouse.
Yeah, so I'm more tending to fall on the side of my dad's right on that one. But anyway, so local preacher almost got shot over it. And Dad pretty much, he didn't say anything. I don't know if he's going to let him come back and get some more logs or not.
I doubt it.
I doubt it too, but that preacher doesn't know how close he came to meeting the Lord, if that's where he thinks he's going.
Yeah, and I'm not sure your dad sees that well either, so his pot shots could be dead on.
I know.
Terrifying.
Yeah, as I was telling him, he's like, well, he's in a dozer. It's going to glance off of it. I'm like, there is a part of the dozer exposed, jackass. Like,
yeah, especially if it's a rifle bullet where it can ricochet. Oh, that's just not good.
Unbelievable, right?
It was interesting. It was interesting. And then you had to drive all the way back with your dad.
Yes. So, right. I had to drive an hour with him in the car or my truck back to Hazard. And then that was okay. He held it together. We had a nice conversation. It worked all right.
Heck, he even ironed his jeans for this trip. Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah, his jeans were pressed.
That
and they have
funny.
Creases down the front. Bless his heart. Off your neck.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's kind of fun.
Yes, he dressed up for this. He dressed up for this trip.
Well, that is.
So it was important to him.
Yeah. No, I got you. I'm trying to kind of get this in order of these silly things. And like I said, he's a lot like you said, like my sister. Like when it comes to politics, anything, like he is right. Everybody else is wrong. There's no room for. And the thing is, like he spouts, like what he says, like everybody else in the room is going to agree with it. It's a very narcissistic way of. It's not just like, this is my opinion, but it's more like, well, of course it's my opinion. It's the same as your opinion and everybody else's opinion because everybody thinks that.
Yeah. And if you don't, there's something obviously wrong with you. It's kind of the message I get.
Yeah.
Which, and I'm weird because I will argue with your dad a little bit. Not really argue. It's respectfully disagree.
Yeah. And me too. And as a kid, I used to get sucked into that being an argument.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets weird. Because my dad did a lot of good things up until I was 10 years old. You know, he took me a lot of places. You know, like I said, I've set up at flea markets, selling stuff. I used to mow neighborhood yards, business stuff. I used to make these little wooden folk toys. And he would take me to festivals, folk festivals, where I would sell these wooden folk toys that I had made for months in a little woodworking shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's encouraging. That's encouraging business and all kinds of positive things. But then by the time I was, 14, 15, from then on, when I started kind of forming my own opinions, it just kind of diverged. It was odd.
Yeah.
Well, and it diverged. And then when somebody's so, I'm right, you're wrong, kind of a thing, it just, eventually you just stop coming around. Or you stop even having conversations with them.
Yeah.
Or serious conversations with them.
You have to.
Or it's going to be a fight.
Well, I wasn't allowed to disagree, so I'm not even going to compare daddy issues here.
What would happen if you disagreed?
It was not good.
Even like on politics and stuff? Somebody smack you or something?
It could escalate to physical violence sometimes, yeah.
Goodness sakes.
Like, it was not, I was raised in an overly religious household, so.
I get that.
I had to be put in my place as a female. I was, yeah.
That's crazy.
And you know me, so my mouth would not quit. I couldn't. Yeah. And I mean, it was bad being a teenager for me, so.
Well, so I drive him around Hazard, showing him different pieces of property that we own.
Yeah.
And he gets all tore up on not knowing the streets that we're on. Like, now which one, now where are we at? Now how do we get, I'm like, you're not going to memorize where all these are.
But he's trying to. This is so important to him that he's really, really trying to. I don't think he could be any happier if it was his own accomplishment in a weird way.
Maybe, and I get that he's kind of proud of it, but it's just so odd. It was odd.
Do you realize, though, that right now you are hardwired to be aggravated and think it's weird anything he does?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe to a point, because I have been so, conditioned to it.
And I get it. I understand why. I feel bad pointing it out to you because, yes, he is weird. He is odd. I mean, you're not wrong about that. But that's him. That's all he's ever going to be. And you've got to accept him just like he is.
I do, about three times a year. It's fantastic. So anyway, so he gets hung up on, now what street is this? Now how do we get here? Where's this? I'm like, look, you're never going to remember all this. Can you just look at the damn house that I'm showing you? Can we move on to the next house, please? Do we have to have a map here? So it's a chore even that. Then as we come back downtown, in some of our buildings we painted, and I'm going down a main road, kind of slow, and as we're coming to it, I'll be like, okay, you see that 3-story building on the right, the blue one? And he'll be, now where? Which one? On your right. Right. turn your head, damn it. Turn your head to the right. Not left, right. Like things like that. So by now,
87 years old.
So by now, we're like past it. I'm like, okay, I'll turn around. Now this time it's going to be on the left. Turn your head to the left. Oh, it's the only blue building within a fucking mile of here. For the love of God, it's blue. Because that's another thing. He'd be like, you mean that green one over there? No, the blue one. Like you want to just shake him so hard. Like blue, God damn it, blue. Ah. So you know how many buildings we have different colors. That's what it was like the whole
every
day.
Building.
Yes. We would turn onto a street. It's that two-story yellow building on the right. You mean that orange one over there on the left? No. No. I literally asked him at one time, like, and I said it like as nice as I could. I said, I swear I'm not being mean, but honest to God, are you colorblind? Because I don't want to keep describing these buildings to try to show you if you are colorblind. I never knew you were colorblind. And he said, I don't know. I just thought that looked orange to me. I'm like, it's as yellow as a fucking banana. It's not orange. It's a banana. It's not a pumpkin. I don't know. I just call that orange. That's what he said. I just call that orange.
And I know exactly which building he's talking about. And I'm just, oh, wow.
It's not even close.
No wonder you couldn't agree on anything as teenagers because he doesn't even know colors.
Oh, God in heaven. Yeah.
Oh.
So that's what it was like driving him around town, showing him this property. That's exactly what it was like.
Well, so, I'm going to go back to, like, when you were talking about him getting off, like, on tangents and distracted and things like that.
Yeah.
That sounds just like some other Yates that I know.
Hey, now. I am focused, Petra. How dare you?
You are focused. You are very focused. Sometimes not on what I'm focused on and trying to tell you about, but that I've seen your dad do it and I've seen you do it. And that is one of those traits that you have kind of inherited a little bit. But you're laser focused on like the blue building, the two story one. On the left. No, I could give you directions like that because you're Daniel fucking Boone. You can look up at the sky and say what time it is and what's north and blah, blah. I mean, you're just
I grew up out in the woods. I had to.
Very good at that.
I was a dude that had to get up at 4 in the morning and pump sunshine up to the rest of the holler.
All right.
That was me. All right. So then I bring him back to our place just to give us all a break. You know, you're still at work. And he comes back to our apartment, hangs out here for a little while. That's all good. So we go back down to dinner. Now you come home. We go down to dinner. It's an Italian restaurant. It just happens to be one of our renters. I'm always going to go there just, you know, because they're our renters.
Yes.
And this part, I don't know if this is where he's getting a little senile, if it's just his unbelievable mental condition he has where he is, what's the word for it? A recluse, a hermit, social anxiety. I don't know what it is, but there is something where he just cannot function in public somehow.
Yeah.
He can't.
Yeah, there's some social anxiety. I don't.
Like, as I say this, I feel like our listeners are going to say, well, you're being mean. He's an 87-year-old guy. What I'm telling you, it's been like this since he was 40 years old. He cannot order at a restaurant. He cannot look at a menu, pick something to order, and order it. I mean, it's torture for him. I mean, he can eventually, but it's always his whole life. Even when I was a kid, he has a problem with that. And that is awkward. So it's very awkward. Anytime we go to dinner, he can't order. You've got to basically order for him. You got to pick food for him.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was our dinner, picking out food, doing all that.
Yeah. And I guess him and one of your uncles, they've come a couple of times to try to eat eat at this restaurant.
And it's a nicer restaurant.
Yeah. They don't open until 4.
Yeah.
And they're closed on Mondays.
Right.
So
they've come my dad and my uncle have come, apparently, according to my dad, 2 or 3 times.
And they weren't open.
And they never opened. I'm like, well, the first time you came, why didn't you read the sign on the door with the hours? Oh, these people are crazy.
Which would make sense. And then some uncle did manage to make it at some point and had the pasta and said it wasn't worth eating. Like, your dad was adamant about that, that the pasta was not worth eating.
Yeah. And he's telling me that I'm taking him
to the restaurant.
In the restaurant that he's telling me.
Insulting
me. Right. Like, that's just. And again, you can say, well, he's just 87. That's just the way he is. No. Everything I'm telling you, it's not age-weighted. It's things like this. Things like this have been going on my whole life.
Yeah.
All right? So, while we're there, he talks about politics. He talked about my niece, who's a big crybaby because Hillary lost, and she needs to just suck it up, and all these jackasses out there worrying about Donald Trump, they don't have anything to worry about, and blah, 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 blah.
I respectfully disagreed.
I like that. We were nice about it.
I'm learning how to do that, not get sucked into an argument, but to respectfully disagree.
But it was one of those things, like I said, driving down here, fine. Driving the property around, that needles you a little more because he doesn't know his colors or which direction to work. And then you get to dinner. And he's insulting you or insulting the place you've taken him to. Well, my brother was here and he said this pasta was awful.
That's that clannish Appalachian thing.
Then,
like if some member of your family has an opinion, everybody has to have the same opinion.
Then we're at dinner.
That's Appalachia.
Then it becomes a Donald Trump fest of how much he loves Donald Trump. So, you know, it just builds. And you can only resist so much, you know? And it starts getting to me.
Grumpy. You were a little grumpy.
So then on the way out of town, I've shown him my stuff. You know, we're on the way out of Hazard. I'm driving him back to the country. And I get about, I don't know, almost out of town, almost out of city limits. I have to get gas. Stop at this gas station. Pump the gas. Get back in the car. My dad says, well, you know, all that property you showed me, I thought you mentioned something about that there was a 5-story building was part of that deal you bought. I'm like, yeah? You mean the one with the gold windows? Well, what do you mean gold window? Again, get back to the colors. What do you mean? I don't remember seeing any building had gold windows.
They're orange.
Exactly. You mean the blue windows? No, fuckhead. No, they're yellow. Anyway, these yellow tinted gold windows.
Fuckhead.
I'd love to someday. You couldn't hear it.
No.
So instantly, I'm just on 9, irritated. I'm like, we have driven by the 5-story building with gold windows 5 times today, and I've pointed it out every time. Well, I just don't remember any 5-story window. I'm like, all right, we're doing a fucking U-turn. Here we go. I'm like, but it's one of those, not good enough. You can say I'm reading into this, but in his mind, somehow he remembered that I had mentioned one of these buildings was 5 stories. And in his mind,
Jesus, your dad has Asperger's.
That was one of the buildings left off. So it wouldn't have been good enough for him if I hadn't shown him that specifically and went back. In his mind, it would have been like, well, you know, he did all right, but he didn't get that big building he talked about. I'm just telling you how his mind works. So I did a U-turn.
You did.
On a 4-lane road and drove back to town, stopped at a red light. And I said, I want you to look up at that building and you count how many floors that building has. The one with the yellow windows. and he said, I guess I just wasn't looking up. That's what he said. He's like, yeah, it does have 5 floors, doesn't it? I'm like, yeah, it does. And it takes up a half a block. Just like I said. Jesus Christ. It's no wonder. It's so ridiculous trying to please somebody who things are never good enough.
What's ridiculous is you and him stuck in a truck together.
That was ridiculous. It was.
I swear, like, he brings out the fucking worst in you.
He does.
You go full personality disorder crazy when you're dealing with him.
It's like it's contagious.
He does too, and it is. You're just so done when you come home. You're just like,
I am. So that was the first time during the day that part of his mental torture had started. The I'm not good enough part. The other part was just, you know, I may kill a random preacher for really no reason.
I don't know my colors.
I'm arrogant. I don't know my colors. I'm opinionated and everybody thinks the same thing. But this was the first time that I'm going to insult the restaurant you took me to. Yeah, this was the first onslaught of you're not good enough. So I show him that. On the way home, about a half hour into the trip, again, making small talk, that part's going okay. You know, randomly, again, wheels must have been turning. Randomly, on the way home, I get one of these, yeah, you know, that is a good portfolio of, you know, have you ever thought about buying up a bunch of this cheap land around here and opening a golf course? You know, you should open a golf course around here. Just land some of these old strip mines. You can make why would you possibly, what do I know about a golf course?
Donald Trump's golf course has been in the news.
Petra pointed that out, and I will guarantee you that is exactly, whether it's subliminal or not, yes, he has seen enough pictures on Fox News of Donald Trump at a golf course.
And that's the only news he watches, by the way.
It has to be it. So that's his next brilliant idea. Things aren't good enough. I show him all this property, all this stuff, and now I'm supposed to buy all this stuff. I'm supposed to buy more property.
And make a golf course.
And open a golf course. So, of course, that does open a bit of an argument because, they grate you down. They grind your ass down till you're just, you can't help it. So I'm like, again, I'm asking him, why would you possibly think, what do I know about a golf course? I don't golf that much. I'm not like it's not my passion.
Yeah.
And I forget exactly his response. It was something like, well, and you know, as you say this, hell, I believe he might have even said the word Donald Trump. Because he said something like, well, I know there's a lot of these people have these golf courses that they don't really, they're not there. They just hire managers. And I believe he might have even at that point said like Donald Trump. And I'm like, you know, how about this? How about I just keep doing what I'm doing? Would that be good enough? I did say that. I literally said that. I said, would that be good enough for you if I just kept doing what I'm doing? I've shown you millions of dollars of property. I've sold out a medical practice. Would it be okay if I just kept doing what I'm doing? Would that be okay with you? And then he's like, well, I'm not trying to, because he could tell then. I'm like, what do you think you're doing? Yes, you are trying to tell me what to do. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. You always just say that I'm negative and doing that, and I just don't understand. I said,
He knows.
I said, you told me the exact words out of your mouth is, you should open a golf course. You should buy all this stupid land, and you should open a golf course. That is exactly what you said. I said, what else could you call that besides, you know, meddling or not good enough or whatever? And then he starts arguing, of course. Well, I just said something like, you could do that if you wanted to. I'm like, no, you didn't.
You said you should.
You're right. And so that opens up a bit of an argument. So the rest of the way home was pretty quiet.
Thank God.
And, one thing on the way home he did mention, which, and this is some of the good stuff. He has a little neighborhood kid. This happens all the time around here. The parents are on drugs.
Yeah.
This kid's parents are on drugs so bad they went to the pen.
So that's really bad.
Yes. So this kid, instead of going to foster care, lives with his grandparents. His grandparents live a few doors or a few houses down from my dad. So my dad is letting this 14-year-old kid come around the house, pays him to mow the yard.
Do handiwork,
stuff like that. Like, that's great. As he was telling me that story on the way home, that was a good little bit of common ground. I'm like, yeah, you're being a good influence. This kid has lost his parents. You know, it's nice that you can teach him some stuff. That's great. So as I get home, my dad likes to be a bit of an outlaw. And he has a moonshine still, which a lot of people in Eastern Kentucky have moonshine stills.
Yeah, that's not a...
That's really not
uncommon, phenomenon.
But my dad loves it because he thinks
he's a bootlegger.
Outlaw with his moonshine still out in his little outbuilding. Yeah, if you drive around Eastern Kentucky, half of those outbuildings have stills, just so everybody knows. Yeah. Oh, you outsiders. All right, there's not that many sheds. We don't have...
They're not all doing woodworking.
We don't have that many four-wheelers and rotor tillers. All right.
Especially if there's two sheds in the yard, one's a still, one's a four-wheeler.
That's right. So my dad shows me his little still, and he's been making some more moonshine. That's fantastic. Then he shows me his pot plants, because he's got pot plants going again. Everybody in Eastern Kentucky does this, people.
Yeah.
All right.
If you don't live in the big town, that's what you got in your yard.
They just do. 5 or 10 plants, sell them at the end of the year, kind of like they used to do tobacco, hang them, dry them, sell them to somebody. You get, $500,000 out of them.
Really? They're worth that much?
For about maybe 10 plants, I would say.
Okay.
Depends on how big they get, I think.
Okay.
But my dad was mentioning that somebody down the road, his neighbor, has 8 or 10 plants, and he says he sells them for enough to pay for his electric bill for the winter.
Hey.
So
I don't have a problem with that.
So whatever. So he shows me his pot plants he's got growing. He's got like 6 or 8 of them in these little containers out back. They're doing very well. So I think from my past conversation with him, I'm like, what about this 14-year-old kid that's coming around? Is he... I was like, are you going to kind of hide these from him, or what are you going to do? Well, no, he helped me. He ordered the seeds. I'm like, oh, my God in heaven. He ordered the seeds. Like, so what are you talking about?
Well,
Wait a minute. I don't see.
Oh, shit. Does your dad have a credit card? Is there any chance that kid's got his number?
Somehow, no, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
Somehow my dad gave cash to somebody who ordered the seeds.
Okay, good.
So my dad didn't use his credit card, but... I don't know. Somehow this kid was involved in picking out the kind of seeds. And then when the seeds came in, this kid helped plant the seeds. Now, this is a kid who's a 14-year-old kid. He's a child of 2 confirmed drug addicts who are in the pen.
God, what do you have to do to go to the pen? That's bad.
Right. It must have been a massive amount of drugs and stuff. So my dad's got him out planting pot. Now, and as I told
I'm kind of like, should we leave this on? This is awful.
And as I told my dad, I'm like, obviously, I don't care about growing pot. I think it should be legal. No problem with that part of this issue here.
The problem is with the kids.
Right. Why would you tell 2 things? One, why would you tell any 14-year-old kid or get them involved in this?
Yeah.
Because they are going to blab to their buddies at school. Hey, that cool old man, Mr. Yates, is helping me grow pot. What if their dad is a sheriff?
Legitimately, yeah, I don't think you should be messing with it at 14 either.
That's the other side of it. Yes. Now you've got a 14-year-old kid growing pot with you. That's a little too much.
I don't think we need to publish this. This part gets cut out.
It's not cut out. Nobody knows any names or anything. Nobody cares.
Oh.
But no, it's a weird story. That's why we're talking about it.
It is. It's weird. It's nauseating in a lot of different ways.
So I tell my dad that basically I don't, you should watch that. I wouldn't let this 14-year-old kid do it. But of course, he's a grown man. He can do what he wants to do, and he's going to.
Yeah, because he's a crazy old coot in the woods.
He's a crazy old coot in the woods. That is a perfect way to put that.
Sorry.
So that is the story of my dad.
And then you came home and you were just like, bleh, 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 for a I felt bad for you.
Well, I had an hour to decompress coming home.
Yeah, I can't imagine what you were pulling out.
And listen to some podcasts and all that, and that worked out great.
Y'all.
But that's what 6 hours with my dad is like.
And that,
and that's no, what I've said here.
Yeah.
You can tell it. That is with no embellishment.
No.
Or very little. I mean, there may be a few little, you know, fill in the story. But for the most part, that is pretty much word
that's
for word
what
accurate
happened.
What happened during my 6 hour span 2 days ago with my dad.
They bring out the worst in each other. Really, really, really bad. It's bad.
All right. So, what have you got over there, Petra?
Well, I'm not going to do my article tonight, but I did something for you this week.
You did?
Yes,
you
did. I did. And I came home.
What does it have to do with this song? You better sing that.
I didn't know you pulled the song up. I discovered the sad, sad housewife version of I Want Your Sex.
Instead of I Want Your Sex.
I bought your socks.
We need to make a little sweet song to that.
I came in singing, I bought your socks. Then I got so depressed about it.
It kind of fits.
I bought your socks. Yeah, I went to the store and asked Hank if he needed anything, and he wanted socks. I bought them for him, and I came home singing, I bought your socks.
I think we crossed a relationship milestone.
Yeah, it's a sad milestone. It is the
when you're buying,
old married couple, when you're buying socks.
Ethel, you buy me some underwear when you go to the store.
The tidy whities. You know I like them tight.
It's funny. Give me some of them Fruit of the Loom long johns while you're down there.
I bought your socks.
Well, I love my socks. Here's the reason, the main reason. You go to Walmart, and I freaking hate Walmart, and they have these thick socks that I like. So, pow, I don't
so
give
you
a
get
shit.
Your, what it, you get your socks.
I got my socks. this stupid microphone. It goes in and out about once a show. It's like a ghost.
Well, the light came back on up here. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Our light went out before we started podcasting, and then it just came back on mysteriously when Hank started venting about his dad.
Well, and this one dimmed. We got ghosts. We got an infestation of ghosts in here.
We must.
We know the upper floor keeps going off from
the ghost meters.
And all that. So maybe they're...
Maybe they come downstairs and have a walk around every now and then.
Maybe they're infiltrating.
In a black corset. That's what's paused on the screen right now.
That is what's paused on the screen. You know, this came out like 1988, I believe, because I was in high school, I think. And he was trying so hard to be somebody he wasn't, you know?
Well, I've told you this before. This came on one morning while we were riding with Dad to school, because 1988, I wasn't old enough to drive yet. And Dad was just... This is disgusting. You know, he couldn't get it off fast enough off the radio. And I'm like, I don't think he means mine, Dad. I think he means yours. So this is why I always got in fights with my dad.
I can see that. And he probably literally is singing about wanting to have sex with guys. But this video is so hyper-sexualized.
It's hyper-sexualized, yeah.
I mean, the girls in garters and the whole... I think most people remember the video to I Want Your Sex. But I don't know. You know, isn't it a weird phenomenon? And it's not surprising that he ended up being a drug addict.
Yeah, because he'd been closeted his whole life. I can't imagine how hard that would be.
Well, first of all, we've talked about too, even being an artist and artistic.
Yeah.
That's your propensity right there some way. But then throw on top of that, now you're repressing these sexual, you know, these gay feelings.
Like who you really are as a person, really. If you're repressing.
It's an odd psychological phenomenon with us humans, isn't it?
Yeah. You're repressing a huge part of yourself, putting on that you're something that you're not. Like I can't imagine trying to be homosexual the way I am. Like I couldn't make myself do that convincingly. And I feel so bad for so many people that had to for so long.
Yeah, and just think of it the other way around.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, okay. Imagine having to put videos out, not just act like it in regular day all the time, but now even you're supposed to make music videos, and your whole livelihood is built around this weird lie.
Yeah.
And the thing, and the weird part of it, when he was in Wham, those videos are crazy gay.
Yeah, they kind of are.
I mean, it's like somebody he took. And maybe you had to back in the 80s. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, hell, he was successful, so maybe.
Hugely successful.
Maybe for his career, it was the greatest thing, but for his psyche, it was the worst thing.
Yeah.
This advice that somebody gave him of like, okay, you're out of Wham, out of this group Wham, and you are gay, and the group Wham and the videos for Wham are the gayest things on earth. If you want to be successful, you need to distance yourself as far as you can.
So let's get a whole bunch of supermodels and sing really raunchy. Because I don't think, I don't know if he wrote I Want Your Sex or Freedom or any of those songs, but all of those videos are very, very sexual.
Well, yeah, and even this one is Faith, that song. Yeah. I mean, it clearly, even symbolically, no, that's actually a different one. Anyhow, he's very hypersexual.
Yeah.
In a heterosexual way. Like
he's
being different than what he is. And in the end, that gets you.
Yeah, bless his heart. I feel for him.
I've talked about it before with my ex-wife. When people, and I learned this through because of her experience, and me and you've been to counselors, we know this now. You know, isn't it odd that when you repress something like being gay, that is going to spill over into some other negative behavior? Why does suppressing something have to make something come out that's bad? Why can't suppressing something make something come out that's good? It doesn't.
Because if you're suppressing something, even if it's not something bad in and of itself, you're suppressing it because you feel like it's bad. You're assigning bad to it. You're making it bad. Either society is or you is. You is. Society is or you are.
Well, it's just funny that, like, you know, if you repress, just like George Michael we're talking about, if you repress being gay, you are a million times more likely to become an alcoholic or a drug addict or some bad behavior.
Yeah, I don't know the statistic on it, but something. It like, and it's such a huge part of who you are as a human being.
It is, so, and it's not just that. I mean, if you repress anything, if you repress being angry all the time at your spouse and you never let it out, or whatever it is that you're suppressing, if you never express that and you just keep that, you know, deep inside, tucked down in you, it's going to come out in negative ways.
Yeah,
it
is.
That's weird. I want your socks.
I bought your socks.
See, for me, it's I Want Your Socks. It's even better with the song. I Want Your Socks.
Yeah, I came home and I was like, guess what I've been singing? And we're like, write this down because it's awful. It really is. It's sad to me. It's like the death of sexy.
I don't know. I think it's a milestone. I'm just going to take it as a milestone. Okay. I'm taking it as a positive.
All righty, then.
Tell everybody where they can find us, Miss Petra.
At hillbillynerdtalk.com.
What's all on there?
Wait, on there? God, we get hick at the end. All right. From hillbillynerdtalk.com, you can find Hank's Twitter and Facebook and my Pinterest.
Very good. Our email's on there. Drop us an email.
Yeah.
As my microphone keeps going in and out.
He keeps going in and out. We're going to have to get you a new cord.
Damn ghost. I don't know what it is. It's plugged in. See, there's lights flickering again.
I don't know. There's something weird over there, and it's centered on you. It's you and your daddy issues.
It is. Well, I don't know what's going on.
All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next week.